Cheers, mates, and welcome to God's Idiot Abroad Fireside Chats Friday. Imagine you're with me and Africa Pete here in Malawi. We've gone on an adventure and we're out in the bush, camping. Don't worry, the lions are sleeping and all the mosquitoes are dead. It's just us. We got some drinks, we're chilling around a fire, the fire smells nice, the stars are showing off, a sliver of moon is sitting just above the horizon, eavesdropping. We're just friends sitting around a fire out in the African bush, sharing stories, telling lies, and opening up. Welcome to Fireside Chats Friday. All right, let's get our fire going. You can almost smell it. Guys and gals, welcome to Fireside Chat Friday. We have our fire going. We have our guest here, Chris Lyle, who's a soldier, author, an attorney, husband, and father. He's also an adventure seeker, mentor, and advocate. Welcome to the fireside, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure for sure, man. You've done a lot, and we're just excited that you're here, so we can get to know you a little bit better and just kind of sit around our virtual fire and kind of chat it up. So you're living in Florida now,
right? I'm living in Florida, but hey, I got to say something even before we get into the questions. So it's interesting to me. Ultimately, this, you are a man of faith and you've done these interviews in pursuit of your faith. And the most interesting thing to me is that we're even having this conversation when you, that's the beauty of the Lord. When you finally fall into it, give yourself to it. What we think we want and what we need are two different things. And this conversation is what I need. It's what you need. And the Lord connected us. We didn't even know each other, 2 years ago, whatever it was. And you are not someone I would have prayed to meet. I could not even possibly have you on my radar because I didn't know you. But when you take that step into faith, the Lord connects you with people who share faith. And through that shared faith, it gives a sense of well-being, purpose, and joy that you couldn't have seen before. It's a whole new world that when someone takes that leap that they're opened up to and exposed to, with no regrets.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I'm glad you said that. And I'm glad we're opening the show with that statement and sentiment. And like how we connected was exactly what you said. It's very much kind of, we would call it happenstance, but you and I both know and have talked and even talked on the interview I did with you on the Zoom call. Like it doesn't happen just happenstance. Like we were brought together for a reason. You and I have shared a lot just through Messenger and, you know, Facebook, of how we think. And we had that interview and that went really well. I encourage people to go back on my Facebook and look for Chris Lyle and that video. And hopefully you take something from that too. It was really, really great conversation. And, you know, as two men of faith, we understand that these things don't happen by happenstance. We're brought together to have good conversations, share the word, share, you know, kind of our lives out there in the public view and share our testimony. And that's what it is all about. God bringing his people together to share testimony, share love.
Yeah. And it's, so I like the title you have, God's Idiot Abroad. And I consider myself one of those idiots. And I know it's done out of humility, to point out that we are not God. We're two men who have a faith and share a faith. But the belief, the faith is not idiocy. It's just recognition that who we were idiots, and that that it's not us. We are not the message. We might be messengers, but not the message, to never confuse us with the message. in that once you accept God in your life, there are no coincidences, good or bad. Everything happens for a reason. There's a lesson in everything. And so when you said you would like to talk today, I know what that means is that God has something to tell me. It's not that I have anything to say, that God is telling me something through you in this conversation. And I don't always understand it or fully appreciate it at the time, but I know that in time it will make sense. So when you reached out and said you'd like to visit, I know that God is trying to tell me something, and I'm trying to be as open as I can to what that may be, because it's never what I think it is. It's always something else. His thoughts are higher than ours. So I'm looking forward to this.
Amen. Amen to that. Amen to that. Man, you know, that's a lot. Like what you just said is a lot, and it's all true. Once you start on a journey, like a faith field, that's perfect. Like you said, we're all idiots. Only through our faith in Jesus Christ are we made anything other than idiots, right? And even after that, we're only slightly better than
idiots. Oh, yeah.
By definition, word idiot. And so, you know, like I say in the intro to this podcast, you know, think of it as Carl from Ricky Gervais's An Idiot Abroad, you know, meets Paul from the Bible. And I'm more Carl, believe me. Like, I don't think I'm Paul. You know, I'm definitely more Carl, the idiot kind of out here in the world trying to figure out some stuff. And I appreciate you giving a nod to that time. Understanding where it definitely comes from in my heart, because I'm an idiot out here, you know, and now I'm out in the world and roaming around Africa and, you know, just holding on to faith and holding on to God, hoping I get better. And one day I might have some understanding of some things. And
that's, you know, it's that Rabbi Zacharias just passed away this week. And I was watching a YouTube story. I've watched a little bit of him. He's the famous Christian apologetic. How he found faith, and he was at a low point in his life, suicidal, and someone shared the word with him, and he gave himself into the pursuit of truth. And when you give yourself into the pursuit of truth, to evidence, and I'm a lawyer, when you give yourself into truth, the pursuit of evidence, and you realize if you're actually open to evidence, that there are such things as miracles. Someone can't say, you know, we always meet these people to say, oh, I'm open-minded. And then if you ask them, do you believe in miracles? They immediately shut down. No. Well, then you're not open-minded. You're not as open-minded as you think you are. You're not willing to consider the evidence of a miracle. And if you do accept that evidence is real, which it is, and exists, and in fact, this person we call Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you can't come back from that acceptance and be the same. And once you accept that truth, it fundamentally changes the path that you're on. And that's what Rabbi Zacharias went through. That's what you're going through. And that's what I'm going through. You cannot go back and be the same.
Yeah, it's having, you're right. Once you're on the path and you have that knowledge, and then you start to understand and see a little bit more clearly, you can't go back. Like there isn't a path back to that, you know, in my opinion. There'll be people that tell me, hey, I was a minister and now I'm, you know, atheist. I don't understand that. You know, I don't understand what happened and where the failing was, but I just can't see any way back to untruth. You know, once you know the truth and you understand, you know, these things are real and you have that in your heart. How do you turn around and go back? How do you take a step?
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think some people maybe get confused, lose faith through suffering, which Christ does not promise you a life without suffering. It's easy to suffer if you know why you're suffering. Suffering's bearable if you understand why you're suffering. Suffering, which is unbearable, is suffering that you don't understand. So a woman giving birth to a child 9 months of pregnancy, that suffering is bearable. She knows the outcome. But if you suffer for 9 months without any explanation why, it almost becomes unbearable. So yeah, Christ doesn't promise no suffering. He still knows we're idiots. We still have questions. It doesn't mean we have all the answers, but we're on the right path and that truth guides us. And we find contentment and joy in that.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. Even in the pain, like God's there with us in the pain.
Absolutely. And that's exactly why it's there, because there is pain in this world, whether you're a Christian or not, there is pain. The question is, why do we accept that pain? For what do we suffer?
Yeah. I'll tell you, we just so everybody knows, we are way off the script here, but it's good. Like you said, let's see where God leads us. But on that note, to follow up on your point about why do we accept it, this book, I think I sent you a note saying, hey, you need to check out this book. But it's what Mom and I, Anita Miracle and I, are studying every day for the last month and a half. It's Andrew Womack's book, about a month, I guess. But it's Andrew Womack's book, The Believer's Authority. And so it talks, you know, he's a faith healer, first off, and a lot of people are turned off by that. But I would encourage anybody, like you said, who says, you know, that stuff doesn't exist, these people are fake, you know, whatever your belief. His laying out of the question you asked, like, why do we sit in and accept these things? Like, he says God gave us the authority when Jesus died on the cross. That was God transferring authority to us again after already giving it to us when the earth was created. You know, in Genesis, he gave Adam and Eve, you know, authority over the earth and all the creatures in it. You know, it's clear as day. And then, you know, his sending of his son was like, you know, the rainbow and Noah, like another reconciliation of our failings and releasing that authority on the earth, underlining that authority that we all have to do these great works and not accept our lot in life, not accept sickness in life, you know, not accept these things, but to fight them with Jesus, love, blood, in faith, you know, on our time.
I'm fascinated with that. And once you mention that book, I have yet to order it, but I certainly will.
Yeah, it'll challenge how you pray. It'll challenge how you study the word. It'll challenge how you look at life. And as an observer, you know, like you are, like I know you, it's almost like seeing the whole world in a different light, and your power and your authority in it over, you know, consequences, the way things happen. And so I can't wait till you start reading.
Oh,
so
me too. Me too. Cause I like to be challenged. I like to challenge means growth. I want to grow, and I like the challenge of growth.
This guy doesn't Andrew Womack does not hold back. So he puts it out there. All right. So tell me a little bit about how things are going down there in Florida for you. How's 2020 treating you? How's COVID? Just talk a little bit about kind of your life down there in Florida.
Well, being in Florida is not something I had ever envisioned. I was born and raised in Arkansas, and I never would have imagined that I would leave Arkansas. And so we can't plan our life. And that's, to me, also biblical. Once you accept faith, you understand that things are in God's hands, not my hands. And so I was laid off at Walmart. I was out of work for virtually a year. I didn't want to go back into private practice. I'm a lawyer. And so I ended up finding a job here and taking it. So, you know, to get up and move, kind of like you've done to Africa, and it's almost two different worlds, leaving everything behind that I knew, trusting that there must be a plan there, being thankful for a job, but trusting that there's something I can't see or appreciate, has all proven to be true. So every time there's been a change in my life, I've learned to accept there's something else I can't see, that God puts us where he wants us, that it's his plan, not ours, and you have to accept and trust God to do what God wants to do, and that he has a part of you in that overall plan. And so, yeah, no, I'm enjoying Florida. It's allowed me to grow spiritually in a lot of different ways. So I accept that anyone I meet on the street is part of God's plan. They're all souls. They're all plans. That if I'm talking to someone, no matter where I'm at, could be the mall, grocery store, whatever, that I try to stay in faith and realize there's something here. There's something here for me to learn. No one's here by coincidence. But the biggest obvious thing that God has allowed me to do and my wife is get involved in a men's homeless shelter here. And that's really been a spiritual challenge and growth for me to be with men who, if nothing else, it allows me to appreciate my life. But I hate to just be in a situation and think, oh gosh, I have it good, because that's not really, I mean, it's nice to have that balance of perspective so I don't go home and think that anything in my life is bad. I get that part. But really the challenge, spiritual challenge, is sharing a gospel of hope and faith with men that have none, men that have addictions. If I ask the people in the room to raise their hands who have been in prison, probably 90% of them, maybe 100%. People who are currently addicted, it's a challenge. What do you say? And, you know, as a lawyer, you think about kind of like sales. What can you say to grab someone's attention in the short time you have? What is that message that might relate to them? And when you believe in God, if God's not with the homeless, he's not anywhere. So, you know, I right. see God in their eyes, whether they see and feel God or not. And that's what's interesting to me. I can feel the presence of God with homeless people, even though in their own heart, they're very empty. And trying to hopefully get people and share that message of hope that I see in them that they don't see. And that's a challenge, but I think there's always progress to be made. Time with people, showing them you care, showing them you listen. I mean, that's what God did. You know, Jesus went around and talked to people and listened to them and shared a message of hope.
Man, I couldn't have said that better myself. What a great word to end this segment on. I appreciate you, Chris, for coming on. And you guys, stay tuned. We're going to turn this episode, because it is so long. This conversation is so good. You don't want to stop it. And so we've turned this episode into two segments. Our fireside chat segment that you just listened to, and then followed up on Spiritual Sunday with the rest of this interview, along with actually getting to know Chris a little bit better. We talk about his books. We talk about his trip to Kilimanjaro and what he took from that epic journey up and down that beautiful mountain, one of the tallest mountains in the world. It is here in Africa, in Kenya, or Tanzania, one of those. I'll have to look it up. Somebody can correct me. But that'll be our second segment, and that'll be Spiritual Sunday. So stay tuned for that. Also, tune in to Soulful Saturday coming up tomorrow on the podcast. God bless you guys. God bless Chris. Thank you so much. And second segments to follow, Soulful Saturday coming up. Cheers, mates. Stanley Ray, God's Idiot Abroad, coming at you saying, be sure to tune in for Soulful Saturday, the second show in the series. We're going to have some fantastic music as always. We'll have some soulful thoughts, and we'll follow up on our first episode and your top three or five things that light your soul on fire. That's Soulful Saturday coming at you on God's Idiot Abroad. Also, be sure and check out the second half of the interview with our friend Chris Lyle on Spiritual Sunday, a continuation of our fireside chat. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless. Have a great weekend, and we hope to hear from you soon. Whew, how about that show? Did it make you crave the finest meats, artisan cheeses, fresh milk, and other dairy products too? Well, if you're like me, and it sounds like you are, a good show always makes me hungry. Let me tell you about Full Quiver Farms, a Christian family-owned dairy farm located in Kemp, Texas. One of the finest farms around, they sell top-quality meat and dairy products throughout Central and Southwest Texas. That includes Whole Foods, co-ops, and other fine stores. If you don't see it in your local grocery store, ask them to get it stocked. You can also order online or just stop by if you're coming through. Mike, Debbie, and the family would be glad to see you. They also help support Africa Pete and I while we're doing the work here in Malawi and abroad. Remember, that's Full Quiver Farms in Kemp, Texas. Find them on Facebook or online at fullquiverfarmstx.com.